Blog Talk Radio.
My, we're here at Black Power Radio tonight. We have all of our smartphone people are in. They've checked in early tonight, and we're just so happy about that. And the dumb phone people are in the second row, and we can reach out to them as well. And we have all of the Androids are on the third row as always, so we're happy about that fact tonight. And of course, the Paranoid phones are assigned to the fourth row, and all of them are in attendance. All the Paranoid folks, want everybody to wave at the Paranoid folks. But whatever you're doing, just buckle your seatbelts. You're on another episode of Black Power Radio. It's your Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, host for the evening. And these are just some of the facts of life tonight. And we say, up here, a mighty nation, in the spirit and the name of Marcus Messiah Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the name of Martin Luther King and Malcolm, and whoever your favorite M letters. You got to pick an M letter to win tonight. So get your M letters together and bring your favorite hero in. And the heroes, the unsung heroes of the day, we just want you to give it up tonight in the name of Up Your Mighty Nation. and see just what America is thinking about in the black revolution, black activists, black pan-Africanists, black civil rights, black people in general. What do you think about these reparations, the state of affairs? We've just assigned in New York a beautiful label on the street called the Black Panther Way. Right at Adam Clayton Powell at 122nd, down by 125th, down by whatever nick of the woods. If you're there by Malcolm X, if you're there by Adam Clayton, if you're there by Marcus Garvey, if you're there by Frederick Douglass, you're in Harlem, New York, and damn it, you ain't nowhere from Black Alleyway. We want to go to Black Panther Way and check out what we have done, the legacy of the Black Panther Party. I'm just so happy to hear about that tonight. And just keep that moving. And we got other facts to put on the table. But we have this special man in the house, straight out of Harlem. And all of you want to say he's in Brooklyn, he's goddamn it all over. Queens and the Bronx, wherever you need to be, from Long Island to Staten Island. I want to talk to our brother. I like to call him Attorney Shabazz. He's a New Yorker, not the Zulu Shabazz. Because he's stumbling and fumbling. But this guy doesn't stumble or fumble. We love him. He's in New York. He's a New Yorker. So, well, yeah, right. Some do call him New York. But New York, nevertheless, we know by any other name, is a frame of mind. And many of them put it out there. I think Jay-Z probably said it best. But New York is certainly a frame of mind. And we're going to welcome to the airways our beloved brother, Shabazz. I like to call him Attorney Shabazz. Talk black to us out of New York City.
No, peace and black power.
Peace and black power to you, brother.
Brother, Comrade Shabazz, I was at the naming of the street of the Black Panther Way, and it was beautiful. I mean, you have the Zulu Nation showed up, the Black Spade showed up. They gave shout-outs to the Young Lords. I mean, comrades from the New Black Panther Party, Chicago, L.A. brothers came out, sisters came out. It got crowded in and crowded. I wasn't expecting that many people. It was crowded in the street and was all over the avenue, up the block. They had fascinated. They, you know, Mumia, big pictures. It was real beautiful. You know, the white folks showed up. The cameras, they digital cameras, they video cameras. They was there. They gave homage. They knew some of them was passing by the streets and they was just doing the knowledge of what was going on. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. Cars were stopping, double parking. It was really beautiful. Once they pulled the street off, the sheet from the street, it was powerful. And there was a lot of people from the Marcus Garvey Parade that was there also. There was a lot of things going on in Harlem. The people made their way and gave homage. It was the veil was supposed to be 1 o'clock, but it was so many people and so many things going on, people enjoying themselves. Had a cookout, like Ice Cube said. Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog on that grill, but, you know, to each his own. It was real beautiful. They also have the unveiling of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's way. They're giving him a street also. I'm going to get the information on that. You got Charles Barron, Jamal Joseph, you know, the veterans, the Black Panther veterans. They're doing something September 17th. They're going to have a float for them also. So Harlem is very active in Harlem Week, Harlem Year. So when you say Harlem, you're saying the hood. Wherever you go, that's our black Mecca. It don't matter if you're in Tennessee. Don't matter if you're in Canada. It don't matter if you're in the motherland. It don't matter if you're in New York, California. The hood is the hood. Harlem is the Mecca of all hoods. Like they say, ATL is the black Mecca of the South. So wherever we go, we build that holy city. Not only we make Mecca, we got to make some Jerusalems and Medinas too. We got to make some Black Wall Street. You know, a lot of history was taken from us. We have to get it back. We need some more Black Wall Streets. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum assalam and Black Power. Black Power, Black Power, and a strong Black Revolution, a strong Black military, and a strong black power fist for every black man, woman, and child that they can find their way to a Nathaniel Alexander folding chair. If something breaks out, be sure to have your folding chair nearby which could be easily utilized as weapons against the enemy, and we see them skillfully used out in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're just recommending them strongly at this hour because we're being told that the taxation on the folding chair will pay off in full, complete, and entire bill for reparations. So that's good news, and we're just trying to raise up your views and keep it, you know, black strong by all means. We're keeping it revolutionary at this time, Brother Shabal. Mama. We're in the studio, so we're going to go out here and pick up. I think we'll stick out and get some OJs rolling up in 3 years while we're rolling. And all of these things are going on in the midst of what is taking place right now. We're attempting to go to avoid something, Star. We might have missed that, and we're in the we may have to go back to studio and see what happens. Yeah, we're right in the middle of the rumble here at Black Power Radio. Shabazz, is Shabazz still there with us? We're rumbling. Let's see. We're done there. Going in here. We're just so happy about the whole outcome of Marcus Garvey weekend and the 9 yards. The whole weekend was spectacular, as always. And as we all know, we're good to go. You listen to your radio, Mo. We're giving it up here, Black Power Radio. Nevertheless, here we are on Earth together. We got one calling in. We can get him live. Brother Jermaine, are you there with us?
Yeah,
hey,
how you doing?
Right on time. We got you, Brother Jermaine, and while we're working on some studio things, I want you to tell us about Louisiana, some of the things you've encountered since you decided to go activist, and see what can we do to aid and assist the Shreveport, Louisiana community. Number one, right. I know they want a clean house for the sheriff and the administration. And tell us what else is going on in Black Power. Black Power?
Basically, like I said, we're dealing with multiple officers involved shootings. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. You're loud and clear where we are, sir.
Okay, yes. We're dealing with multiple officer involved shootings. A corrupt council, of course, that brought that to the attention of everyone last night concerning the unauthorized salary increases for the council members. But we're dealing with so many injustices that have been for the last couple of years, 2.5 years, just dealing with a variety of issues from police officers, from officer-involved shootings to families still needing justice from that. Also, we want the police chief to step down immediately. We'll be dealing with a racist department, police department as well. And then also we're asking for investigation on the whole department, really. And also just, you know, just the overall things. And then the next question is, where is the rest of that COVID-19 or the American Rescue Plan money that was issued to the city for the sole purposes of course, first of all, for the rental assistance program, which I thought was a great program that helps thousands of renters across this nation. Of course, that fell through. But that's our question, is what happened to the rest of that, to the rest of that American Rescue Plan money, the rental assistance money, you know? So that's so many questions, you know? Hello.
Yeah, definitely, stepping up on many of those issues you mentioned, and especially the issue concerning these police killings, police, some call them police homicides. What can we be done? Your estimation, looking around and seeing the consistent injured, lame, harassment, execution, detrication, assassination, killing, homicide of our brothers and sisters, and much of it going unanswered in America at this hour. What do you see as a solution to bring about resolve in the way of how can they get away with cold-blooded murder in broad daylight if they know the process?
I feel that more attention needs to be brought on, of course, federal investigation with these police departments across the country. Getting, first of all, getting these police chiefs out of the way, getting them to get out the picture, step down. Also, more police reform. We need that more police reform and whether be held accountable. You know, in certain states are doing much better with that, but if we still have a ways to go. But we're still dealing with the fact that at the end of the day, these officers are walking out scot-free. They're not serving. Some of them still aren't serving prison time for killing black brothers and sisters. You know, they're still walking out these courts free, and that should never be. You know, and this is what we're dealing with. You know, so.
Yes, sir. Well, our sister is straight out of Brooklyn, and she has quite a bit of insightfulness on what's taking place in the urban areas such as Brooklyn and Harlem, which we just put the street sign up for the Black Panther in Harlem, and Brooklyn's overjoyed. The world is rejoicing. The recognition of the Black Panther this hour, so that's a great thing. But the Queen Mother Beverly is right there nearby where you are. She's in the Spartanburg area of South Carolina, and I know she has some opinions and some definite parameters on most of what we've heard is taking place at this hour. You want to bring Queen Mother Beverly to the mic and see what she has to say on these vitally important matters. Let me see. I did look her in. Let me see what happened. Studio is acting up. Please don't tell me studio is acting up. Not clicking for whatever reason. I may have to re-click and redo everything here the way it's looking because I'm not getting the studio people. So I'm going to have to try this again, brother. Jermaine, please be patient with me. This video is active, giving us the cuss for the bill for the rest of us. Let's see if we'll try one more time. I can see Mother, Queen Mother, and the rest of them in the studio. Look, I have you online, a couple others here, and now we're trying to bring the Queen Mother, and we're getting static, automatic push button remote control static, more static. Let's see if that one. If that clicks it in, and we try Queen Mother one more time, hopefully that we can bring her up. It's clicking out of madness. I'm going to have to ask everybody to tune Black in. Now, I can see you all at California. I can see the Queen Sean Met. I can see Queen Mother. I can see several others there, the Black Lightning, the other queens, and the Minister of Justice, those folks are out there. But something stuck, y'all. So we're going to have to ask you all to do us one kind favor. If you plan to speak on Black Power Radio tonight, we would like you to call 202. I have to write and go slow with me. That is 202-550-8521. Again, the telephone number is 202-550-8521. For Black Power Radio tonight, it's 202-550-8521. 1-800-273-2121. So anyone on studio can hang up and dial those numbers. Blessed to bring Queen Mother Beverly live with us, and we got several others that should be chiming in as well. So we got Queen Mother, we've got Brother Jermaine out of Shreveport, and the others will be coming in, such as Black Lightning, of course, and we'll bring them. So Queen Mother, you there to pick up from where we are, Queen Mother?
You know, it's really atrocity that they detained that little 10-year-old boy. You know, I got 10-year-old grandchildren, and I'm pretty sure you do too, Brother Agbaugh. It's really interesting. First off, I want to say good evening to everybody. And I haven't been on in a while, and I want to apologize. First off, for those who know, the situation went on maybe a couple of weeks ago. My husband had outbursts, but he was talking about his job. He wasn't speaking to our comrades, and I want to apologize for hanging up. I'm going to tell you my part, because he came in from his job. It was thunder and lightning down here. If you're in South Carolina, you know about the South. The thunder and lightning roars and rumbles like a earthquake, and he was at his job. And my husband works in a booth, and it's made of wood, and he came in here fussing because they wanted him to stay in that booth, and it was torrential rain down here that Sunday, and he came in here fussing, and he didn't know I was on the Black Power Radio. So you overheard the background, and he wasn't to no one on this line. He was talking about his job, and I apologize for hanging up, because it was the only thing I could do was hang up, because he was in a rage, and he was talking about the white people. He ain't staying at their job, and they think he's going to stay there. They can do whatever, you know. He's a whole lot of big old nasty, dirty words, and it was for me to hear. He didn't know I was on the radio. And I can't reiterate that enough, and I apologize for hanging up, because that's the only thing I could do at that moment, because I really didn't want y'all to hear, but you heard part of it, but I hung up, but you couldn't hear the rest. And going forth, I hope my apology is accepted. I talked to Brother Agbaugh yesterday, and my husband spoke to him yesterday, and we resolved it with him. So I want my comrades that didn't hear our apology to hear our apology. And I appreciate it so very much if you would accept it. Now, moving forth with this 10-year-old baby that could be my grandson, because he's too young to be my child, but he could be my grandson. Why would he even phantom of detaining, putting a young president, I'm going to put it like that, president of us, in a situation like that, to torture him mentally? Why would you do that to a child? Why would you even think about phantoming doing that to a child? It's really absurd. It just blew my mind. I didn't know about it until I looked at the video on the phone. I didn't know about it until just a little while ago, and it really shook me because it's sad. And the last, what the part I heard, I caught, was they're not being held accountable. They killed my son October the 2nd down here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. They tased my son 5 times. My son was 29 years old, and I had to put him in the ground. That's against the rule of nature. We're not supposed to bury our children. You know, and nobody's being held accountable for it. You know, we have a lawsuit going, but that's monetary. I want to see somebody convicted and tried, just like they would do us if I had went out and killed one of their children. You understand? But these pink people, because I call the Caucasian, the white folks, I call them pink. These pink people, they have a pass go card in all aspects of life, from what I have encountered. And, you know, it came to my door, so I'm speaking personally. But this here baby, you know, I just, it just blew my mind. it just blew my mind. And that accountability, that word, it speaks volumes. And not only speak, it needs to be put into play. I don't know what can be done, but we cannot just sit by and let this continuously happen. It's really, you know, you're going for the grown people. Now you're messing with our base, our future. That's so sad. It's no telling how that little young man, his mental capacity will be going forth. You don't know what kind of scar they done to that baby. You know, they just done so much to us over the history, and it just repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats. And I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of having this conversation over and over again about these damn crackers killing our people. I'm just so sick of it. And as I say, it's personal for me, because they took my youngest son and left me with three. That was my youngest son. And I have to live with that every day for no reason, because all my boy was doing was living and inhaling and exhaling. He was walking in the street. That's all he was doing, nothing else, nothing else. And they picked him up and took him to Spartanburg Detention Center in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and they executed my boy, because they tased him five times. They executed my boy. And that's what I live with daily. Now they're going to the little 10-year-old little babies. And they just breaks my heart. I'm just sick. I'm just sick. I'm just sick that I had to read about that and watch something like that. It's just overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. Just opened up a whole nother can of worms and opened up old wounds. Could have been my child. It could have been my grandson. I don't know. This world is just so corrupt, man. This world is just so corrupt. But we got to stand for something or fall for anything. It's just sad. It's just so sad. And I hate it. I just hope that people in Mississippi get together. Let me see the name of that jail. Senatobia. I hope the people in Senatobia get together and don't let this slide. Don't let this slide. Us as a whole. Look at that cute little boy. He ain't no bum in the street. Just like my son wasn't no bum in the street. That's a nice little boy. School just started. He ain't got no business in the back of no police car. That's sad. That is horrible. That's horrific.
Yes.
That is horrific.
I seen that. I saw that, and that was just horrible to me. That was just beyond, to me, that was beyond sickness. Now they're arresting children. You're arresting kids. Where in the world do they do that? Where in the place do they do that? You know, I've never seen children being arrested. But now, if you've noticed, I think I've noticed, since after the George Floyd situation, these cops have now grown now to attend is harassing the children. They're bullying the children. They're arresting them like grown adults these are not even crimes being committed. These are officers who are actually, I mean, these are police officers who are now going way beyond, you know, now they're attacking the children. Where the hell did they do that at?
Horrific. Horrific. It's just sad to my spirit to just see something like that.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It really is. It really is. Because I put myself in that mother's shoes. You understand? The little boy, all he was doing was leaving himself behind his mother's car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's amazing. What are you supposed to do? He on himself? I mean, school just started. And you
exactly.
Have, I mean, you know, what are you teaching? What kind of role models are you to our children? I'm a black kid. You know, it's number one, we got to send our kids to these schools, to these schoolhouses, and they lie to our children, trying to take our books, our history away from us, which they can.
It may be coming out of my background, but let's make sure that you mute up. If you're not speaking, please mute up. I don't want to have to rip everybody out of the place.
I don't know who that is. It's not me. I got my TV.
Hey, you have to mute up. I don't know if you can hear us.
Here we are. I don't know who that is in the background.
I don't know either because my TV turned all the way down. It's not me.
It may hurt now. It won't hurt long. I got a remedy for it, but it's going to take me a minute to bring them off. Okay, I think they stopped now. They realize. But go right here.
And we as a collective, as a people, you know, that's what Black Power, that's what the Black Pastors are for. You know, we have to go and do what we do with these people, man. I'm not even going to call them people. These savages, these it's so sad. It's so sad. You know, I got a phone call today that somebody that I grew up with, I knew him a long time. His name is Charles Flowers. He passed. He went and took a shower. He was downstairs with his son. He lives in Virginia, lives in Richmond, Virginia, but we was raised up in Brownsville. He, in Brownsville, Brooklyn, he went and took a shower. He came upstairs. He was talking to his son. And he had heart problems. And he laid on the bed. His wife was at the foot of the bed playing a game on her phone, she said. And he kicked her. And, you know, she said, she turned around and said, Alan, why you kick me? And she noticed his eyes were in the back of his head. So what she did, she called 911. And they told her how to do CPR. But it didn't work. He transitioned. And this is a 58-year-old man, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's natural. You know, that's not you catching somebody's loved one and detaining them. Now you've got from 10, and I'm going to use my son LaBelle, to 29. I mean, you can't even know, you don't even know what to say to a mess like that. You can't even put this into words. It's inconceivable that you would come and put a child in a police car. Now, when is it a crime to piss? Just like, when is it? That's a kid. That wasn't no grown man. When is it a crime to walk in the street? That's what they killed my son for. So they make up their own laws as they go, and we just want to sit idly by and let them just do what they do. And I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so tired of it. But I tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you one thing about Beverly Lane Reese, this is the lady that's speaking. With the last breath in my body, God allows me to inhale and exhale. They're not going to get away with LaVell Lane. LaVell, not Jay Lane, which is my son that I birthed 30 years ago. They're not going to get away with it. Because I'm not going away. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. And I'm going to fight. As I hope this little boy's mother in Mississippi, I hope she fights for her son too. Which I wasn't more with a silver spoon in my mouth, but if need be, if I need to go and stand to that lady and raise my voice to the top of Mount Everest, I would help her if I need to, because, like I said, that could have been my grandchild. And I yell black because I didn't talk enough. But let me tell y'all this, and then give you a little update about Lavelle's case. I was supposed to meet with Christopher Pratt, my lawyer who's handling the Bell's case. I was supposed to meet with him next Friday. He's coming to my house, which is September the 1st, to go over the depositions that they have put forth. From them, huh?
Yes, that's exactly right. When you meet with the opposition, when they're holding that deposition, go ahead.
Yeah. So he's coming to my house. He said that they have sent him questions, and he sent them questions, but they haven't responded to his, so they sent my lawyer theirs. So he's coming over here on the 1st, and we're going to sit down at 1 o'clock to go over what they forwarded him, whatever they asked. I don't know what all they asked. But I'll find out on the 1st. And on the 3rd, which is that Sunday, I'll be on the Black Power Radio to give y'all an update on what happened. Is that fair?
Well, certainly that's fair. And I want to thank you for the update. And we are following closely the Lavelle Lane case. It was executed by the deputies and the corrections within Spartanburg County at the Spartanburg Detention Center. He went in with his life. He left without his life. We have gotten no clarity, no decent explanation as to what exactly took place with her son, and I think she deserves to know everything, not just some of what happened, but everything that happened. And
yes, sir.
They
yes,
are
sir.
Definitely liable for the life of Lavelle Lane. There's no two ways about that.
And, brother, Aquar, you know, this is August. You know, this has happened October the 2nd, almost here again.
Yes, ma'am. And there you go. They are attempting a non-process or no-process the case, to no-paper the case, meaning that they are not willing to investigate and find out who is responsible for taking his life and know that he was tortured unnecessarily. Undue and unnecessary excessive use of excessive force and unnecessary use of excessive deadly force, and the list goes on. And they intimidated him, killed him. He called them the zombies are coming, referred to the police officers to do him harm. He knew that he was in danger. His life was in danger. There was not any particular moment that we can review that does not indicate that that he knew his life was in danger. So from there, we must pick up the case. We got a few more online right now. Queen Mother, we thank you for the update. We want you to stay right there with us. Stick and stay, and don't you dare go away. I think we got Black Lightning and a guest out there somewhere. Let's see, can we
Black Power. I'm here.
Black Power, Black Lightning, and welcome again to Black Power Radio.
Yes, sir. I was going to mention the same thing. And Black Power, Queen Mother,
hey.
Black Power, Brother Jermaine.
Hey, Black Lightning.
Hey. You always say, hey, hey, hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey. It was at Senatobia, Mississippi, 10-year-old. Octavius, I ain't get the last name yet. He was arrested for peeing behind his mother's car. Seems that she was at a law office, and he asked his sister, did they have a bathroom in there? And they said no. And so here's some no good rotten cop gonna run up on a 10-year-old. And they say they can arrest 7-year-old kids in Mississippi, and like they would adults. So the cops tells them he's gonna give them a warning. And here comes some no good lieutenant, and he comes up and says, "No, he have to be arrested." You know. So that's pretty much what I got on that, but. I just see it as like how far is like I feel like they're trying to push the envelope. See, just how far can they push the envelope before we say enough is enough? I mean, they kill us in broad daylight. That's pushing the envelope. Now they're starting to at least get arrested. You know, I mean, the cops are facing judgment. I mean, you know. Of sorts, and that's good, but still, we letting them get away with it, you know. And I mean, Now tell me, we're not going to protect our kids. They're trying to push the envelope a little bit too far. I mean, a lot too far. You know, is they really? Well, I'll tell you what. They always, I think they choose their targets, like black women by themselves and stuff like that, you know. I don't think they would have attempted to arrest that little boy if he had his uncles and his daddy around, you know. It would have been a different story. You know, there's no way you could get past me to get to mine, you know. You really wouldn't. They've tried with different loved ones, family members, unsuccessfully.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't think they would have gotten, they would have went down like that if he was pink.
I wouldn't.
Dark.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
But I had to put that little part in there. It definitely would have went that way if he would have been white and pulled out his little white pepper. Excuse me, but that's just, you know, I'm not trying to be.
No, that's true. That's true. They don't. They give us an entirely unbalanced system to work with, you know. I mean, I've even seen it in person, in my own personal life, you know, going through the rigors of getting, you know, of coming up. You know, making mistakes, and then, like I say, he's only 10 years old.
Yeah.
He got to go. He say, like, is there a bathroom in there? No? Okay, well, I got to go. You know? So, I mean, I've seen the law hand out punishment greater to the black man than he did to the white man who had more. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was, let's see, I remember being in a courtroom and seeing a white dude with like 2 or 3 ounces of weed and a black guy with a J, one J. And they give the white boy a fine and tell him to leave and get a black man maybe a year or two. Probation, supervised probation, and tell the white boy, here, you can just sit here, pay your fine, and go on home.
Hey.
I seen another one get a phone call who had, let's see, he had several guns and ammunition. And he's sitting beside me, and I'm sitting in there for cussing the cops out. They give him a phone call and tell me, oh, if I be nice, they'll give me one, too. I said, well, guess what? Fuck. Excuse my language. Yeah, I said, F them and the goddamn phone call. National chairman, And then the white boy with all the gun charges and stuff, he passed me the phone, and I took it and put it up on their desk. I thought that ain't gonna do me no good, no way. I want my cell phone with my numbers in it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I went ahead and kept my pride and said the hell with the phone call. Until I got up out of there. But it was so funny because I went to ragging on the cop. I ragged on the cop so bad. I was telling him, for one, he jealous. He jealous of, and I know you looked in my car and you seen all my Black Panther stuff, you know. I said, that's why you really doing it. And he's a black Uncle Tom. Well, I shouldn't say Uncle Tom, Sambo. Uncle Tom was the hero. Sambo was the snitch. But I had a good time on his ass. I'm telling you now. I told him, I said, well, you're mad because you look in the car and you see my vest is way better than yours. You know? Yeah, I said the police department ain't gonna spend money on a bulletproof vest like that, you know, with the rifle plates in it and all that good stuff up in there. You know, I don't want to give away my hand too much, but I'm just saying. I said, you probably look at my Kevlar helmet like, God damn, that riot shit y'all got don't match that Kevlar. That's for sure. So I was ragging on him the whole time. I told him, I said, well, I said, don't they have a weight limit? And I was stuff like that, you know. I said, he looks like if you put a bulletproof vest on, you're going to tip the scales to 450 pounds. But he wasn't nowhere near like that. But I'm just saying that's the only good time I had about it. But just the unfair treatment.
Right.
To watch them give lighter sentences to white folks. And especially the one where they were sitting there and the one white guy, he's got enough weed to most likely be out there selling it to a guy that's sitting there with a J, one J behind his ear.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. And we got to teach our kids better too. I mean, you know, they need the mother and the father in there to balance it out, you know.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of people just, good Lord, you know, just going, I mean, I just say the women are more emotional. And then the men balance it out and say, honey, chill out, you know. And then they push the man, too, at the same time. So it balances itself out. So they say, ain't going to be too much chill because, you know, hey, I'm now push, you know, push the, like you say, Mr. Reese, you know. So don't push Mr. Reese too far, you know what I mean? Because he gonna handle you, you know. And same here. Put your hands on my kid if you want to. It was a, what you call a, I don't want to go too long, but I'm going to land on this along with 77 Bakers. But it was an off-duty cop working at Walmart and got up and somebody close to me face thinking like they stealing something, and they weren't stealing anything.
Uh-huh.
They was about to buy up a whole bunch of stuff. And, it was a lady, so I pretty much, when I seen him reach for her, and get in between them, and, you know, eye to eye now. And I said, uh-huh. Hey, you know, eyebrows went up, so he wasn't expecting that one, huh?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, yeah. And then he looked at her. I said, nah, yeah. I said, nah, homie, you better focus on me. I pointed at my eyes and his eyes. I said, you better stay right here, you know? And
yep.
He outweighed me by at least 100 pounds, but that didn't matter. Not to somebody who rides a bike 60 miles just for fun. No, not even for fun. I ride 30 miles for fun, but I ride 60 miles to get to the people. Get out here and do the community work with the homeless, and with the youngins, and that's why they all special to me. You know, you don't say, oh, wow, look at the homeless people over there in the park. You say, oh, you mean you can name them off by name, you know? That's a lot better, you know? Yeah. So when I come through, I tell them, I say, y'all just stick with lightning now. I ain't trying to show my hand too much, you know. So just stick with lightning. They start taking privileges with me over there. They say, you know, go. One guy went and got a guitar and an amp, and I was like, oh shoot, they making a little party scene out here, you know. So I just land on 77 Bakers and leading our kids the right way, so we don't have these problems. I mean, not those problems like the 10-year-old. I'm talking about like them snapping, you know, snapping. And like I seen the lady on some YouTube, what was it, Facebook or something. It was a bunch of ladies, right? And it was in a fast food place. And you might have seen it. They got to throwing chairs and stuff, you know. And I was like, okay, see, so that's what the boys is looking at, you know.
Uh-huh.
boys are saying, I mean, you know, where's the level-headed brother? They come along and say, well, look,
stop.
Forget
that.
The order. Forget the order. Just put that back on my card, and y'all have a nice day. You know, and just like I said, when that I want to call him a redneck hillbilly for real, but I won't because I don't really know the man's background like that. But that off-duty cop, basically, I ain't let him talk to my friend. Investigate her, check her, go back in the store, none of that. You know? All I told him is all this basket full of stuff that was getting ready to get bought, now it ain't going to get bought. You know? and then I say, okay. I say, here it is. She wearing stuff that come from Macy's and stuff like that. She's not wearing no Walmart crap, you know what I mean? So, anyway, I land on the 77 Bakers because that's going to get us where we need to get. And it seemed like we can mobilize some people from y'all's area, Queen Mother, get down to Shreveport and then keep on going to Mississippi because that brother that was murdered down there in Mississippi by those
the police.
No, he was working a job, and he said that he was having a problem. He called his mother and said he was having a problem with his boss, and said they was chasing him, some white boys in pickup trucks, and said if anything happened to him, his boss did it, and he wound up found dead in a pig pen. Decapitated, half eaten, you know, and that was in. So we're going to Taylorsville, Mississippi, for that. Taylorsville, Mississippi. That was Rashawn, I think Rashawn Carter. Sir.
That's right, Carter.
Yeah, Rashawn Carter. So we have a protest in the Lincoln. Not in Lincoln, but with the joining the forces together, which is always a good thing, with Crystal Muhammad at the Taylorsville police headquarters, and that's next weekend on the 26th. Yeah, so everybody that's in the area, like, you know, y'all already down south, y'all could just drive that 2 hours and bring a bunch of people with you, Brother Jermaine. And I don't know how far it is from you, Queen Mother, but we just need to get these troops rallied on it. Stop by what's the name of that place where the 10-year-old, shoot, is all in the same area. Well, I shouldn't say that. Senatobia. No telling how far they are from each other, but I'm just saying, if you got to go through Senatobia to get to Taylorsville, I'm sure on the way back we need to be hitting Shreveport. But that's kind of like, you know, if we can. We've been known to do it like that, though. National chairman do it like that. I'm saying, well, we went to Norfolk one time, and he sent half the troops down to North Carolina. Well, no. Where we go, National Chairman? You send half of us to go with Brother Simba, Jelani, Brother Ross Simba.
Yeah. Some of the troops were in North Carolina, some in Norfolk, some in South Carolina, Georgia, in that region, and we were still had a successful maneuver that weekend. It's great, but nevertheless, we.
Black power.
Up your mighty nation. We can accomplish whatever we will. And black power. And thank you for announcing the fact that if people want to give, those who are numerically at heart can give to the New Black Panther Party, the Black Power Radio, and to anyone that's moving in our spirit and our network of black revolution, black activism, black Pan-Africanism. We are the ones. So here we are, a dollar sign 77 Bakers. It's again dollar sign on your Cash App, and 77 all capital letters, B A K E R S. And if you happen to be alpha, socially oriented, or alpha pure at heart, you can go dollar sign 77 and capital B A K E R S. Dollar sign 77 Bakers, all capital letters, and you'll be able to donate exactly how you feel on Black Power Radio. You can talk how you like, talk how you feel. We're here to give you a voice to the voiceless and to help us to go with our own black revolution. So here we are. There's a lot of talk out now on reparations, a lot of talk out on Montgomery, Alabama, and the folding chair syndrome. We have embarked upon it, y'all. It's time that we strike back. And we must strike while the iron is hot, beloved. That's the real talk for real men and women tonight. Let's see. We're trying to get
I got a quick question. Oh, yeah. Quick question before you go, sir. That police killing, that was a Rankin, Mississippi. Is there so much going on down there? Just want to say, we need to get on all of it and then unite all the forces together to do it. And Brother Jermaine, well, never mind. Yeah, go ahead. I just want to say that we need to hit them too if it's along the way. Black power.
Black power.
What's that number again so the people know where to call in, sir? National Chairman, you was getting ready to bring somebody on the line.
If you really want to talk tonight, call 202-550-8521. Again, if you desire to talk on Black Power Radio, the studio got split again. So they're working on their stuff, but they haven't worked hard enough. Technical difficulties and several shows have been sabotaged, but nevertheless, we're here at 202-550-8521. Again, for all that are absolutely numerically pure at heart, please dial 202-550-8521 if you desire to speak on Black Power Radio tonight. And thank you all for joining us and being with us here. We have a lot to cover. I'm trying to get Dr. Truth Bay unstuck from the studio and Black online with us. So we're in the middle of the rumble, and there's rumbling, trouble in the jungle, and let's see what we have to do. Black Power.
Brother Akbar, please say that number one more time, because I'm digging for a pen and I can't find one. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You're already on, but go ahead and call 202.
No, I want to write it down.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm waiting for 202.
Yeah. I know I'm on, but.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pencil. Let me see if I can keep this thing on. 202. Okay, I'm ready. 202.
550.
Uh-huh. I got that.
85.
Uh-huh.
2-1.
I got it.
8521. Okay. And all of you out there numerically pure at heart can dial 202-550-8521 to be live on Black Power Radio tonight. We're just happy that you're here with us and happy that you're able to network with such a strong group of men and women who are focused on our own revolution and the hell with a crackers revolution. And that's what Black Power, because we are black revolutionaries. We're unapologetically black, and we love some Black Power Radio up in here. Oh, my God. Somebody love it up in here.
I love y'all. Don't you ever think twice about that, because you heard it from the head, not from the tail. I love y'all.
Oh, God, you already know. If we're glad to have Queen Mother Beverly here live tonight. We got us some black lightning. We got a Jermaine out in Louisiana. And we're trying to plug the rest of the people in. I can see them, but I cannot reach them. You know, some crazy radio, when you don't have no Los Angeles, I got about 3 or 4 calls from Los Angeles just stuck over there. And your regular Colorado's, Texas, New York is here. Shabazz was on earlier, the attorney Shabazz from New York City, and he has been teamed up with our National Minister of Justice, Brother Shabazz from New York, helped to bring in the sign, the new Black Panther, or the Black Panther sign, the regular Black Panther sign, the Black Panther Party Avenue. Oh, that's something new for New York. Something old for New York. But nevertheless, we're live on Black Power Radio, regardless of land, label, or language. And regardless of land, label, or language, Black Power Radio, and in other words, we have developed an indelible spirit towards revolution, towards getting our message and words out, and we are not going to allow anyone to fit in the path. As a matter of fact, New Black Panther Party is known to uproot and to overturn what gets in the path that does not agree with Black Revolution. Oh, bye-bye. And we have our Dr. Street today. We've got 4 more callers over Dr. Street. And I know most of them want to talk. And we got 4 from the west side and then 3 from the south side, of scattered between Colorado, Las Vegas, and Texas, and New York. So we hope that we can give you your opportunity now to let's straighten it out. We can bring it to the table, our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Ruth Bay. Black Power.
Hey, it's Black Power family. How are we doing this evening?
Fantabulous. And yourself?
All right. I have been under the weather. We had a huge hurricane / earthquake / monsoon yesterday. So Southern California was doing its thing. There was like 3 weather monsoons at once. It was crazy. I had the place where I live, floor was trembling. Damn, and then you had the advisory board going on the phones, the alarms were going off. It was crazy. But as they say, the ozone layer is going through some stuff, so we never had real rain in August in California, you know, recently. But it is what it is. Strange things are happening because it's a new season, Black family. So, updates. Been hearing quite a bit on Shreveport and Mississippi and the constant discrimination that's been going on legally, legislatively, executive, judicial, for the Black man and woman. So here we are with reparations. We had a great discussion yesterday on some updates and thoughts and opinions on how reparations should go. The fight for reparations is still in the forefront, and we still are waiting for collective spirit. Well, one thing we know for sure, that if there is absolutely no reparations coming in 2023 or even early 2024, there'll be no Black vote come November 2024. That message I see is not something that wavers. It's a necessary move that we have to make collectively. So what we have requested since the California Task Force has ended on June 29th, and if you have not gotten a chance to read the 1,100-page report of the final reparations report that describes the harms, stuff that, you know, we've been hearing in history books over and over again, redlining, Jim Crow, the atrociousness of slavery. So all this is what they put in this book, but yet the politicians that was on the task force, such as Senator Steve Bradford and Assemblymember Reginald Jones Sawyer. These are the two men that's supposed to champion a reparations bill. They should be negotiating with D.C. and the Biden administration pretty soon, before February 2024. So that's the steps that are being taken in order to so-called finalize the steps of reparations and legislation. But the truth of the matter is, Black family, that's not going to happen. They are not, in so many words, and Steve Bradford said it himself, the good old senator from California. He said, no, I don't believe they're not going to give us reparations. And it's crazy when people like that state, they are not going to give us reparations. When you ask them, who is they? Aren't our local politicians part of that they crowd? They have the power to make suggestions or enforce legislation or at least support it. That's what their business as a senator, that's part of being an assembly person, is having the power to do just that. The problem is they have been, I would say, de-Django-ized, if that's even a word. They have been brainwashed to believe that we are ultimately limited when it comes to real restitution. And this is where we have to really think about how we are being led. Are we going to constantly be told what the next steps are? If you've been listening to Black Power Radio, just even the last couple of months, we have given you some vital information on what you need to do in order to really, if you're a descendant of a slave, to have closure on this. Reparations have been thrown around, that word has been thrown around so much that a lot of people are not in tune with what it really means, the importance of really getting down to the bottom of an answer. So what we are proposing, and when we say we, it's we the people. We are just proposing $5 million and land as a proposal. And this is what stands. Anything other than that is great discussion. You have a lot of intellectuals that can talk us blue in the face, but it's not going to change what is the reasonable response as to what it is. So while we are closing in the gaps of negotiations, of having a meeting with the powers that want to be, it really is no one way we're going to get reparations. It's a collective effort. It's a collective effort on different bodies. It really falls upon we the people. We are the ones, Black family, believe it or not, that determines the result of how this over 400-year battle of repair and restoration will end. And so I really suggest that you call in, that you get involved in your local reparations group. A lot of them are just starting out. They're just discussing the harms, and it's a waste of time. But right here, if you listen to Black Power Radio, you'll be able to actually know how to bypass all the BS and get straight to the skinny. Hold on. Answer. All right. So I had, I'm sorry, with the technical difficulties, I had to, call in a national chairman. And thank you, national chairman, actually, for the work that you've been doing and the fight, the cause that you have included and the emphasis on in Black Power, on revolution. It's not something that should be taken lightly. And we encourage all of our people who's listening, young and old, to really think differently. to operate and communicate differently. One thing that I've noticed just in the last 6 months, that there have been a change in mentality with many of our naysayers, so to speak. We do have a lot of people that weren't on code. But this season, you do have a lot of people that have really thought about, you know, my vote is really important. I don't understand why we haven't achieved the goals with the amount of resources, the intelligence that we as Black people possess. And that has slowly changed for the better. But we still have a long ways to go when it comes to organization. It is a constant duty of ours to be proactive, and how we see a change is not a 1 week work of revolution and then take a break. And no, it is a grind. It is blood, sweat, and tears. And our young people, they for sure are looking to see a change. And it's great to see a lot of our young people that are getting more involved in politics nationwide. So there is a change in that. And this year's, next year's election really will be foretelling. It's going to be a lot of changes and things that we are not used to seeing, you know, starting with the weather. That, you know, yesterday was just crazy. It was like so many things happening at once, but it was like a message that the Most High is telling us, that God is telling us, you know. He's finna set his children up for restitution. But we have to be ready, Black family. It's really no option with that. What I would like to see also is opportunities for us to obtain land. And, again, more properties and more towns are being deserted as we speak. This is a time for us to move in and claim stake on properties. We need institutions. We need hospitals. We need our own libraries. We need our own banks, you know? So these are things that are still lying for us in the wait. And as I put in my bid, as I mentioned before, I'll be running for lieutenant governor for the state of California. And every day I see the challenges of what is needed within our cities and our counties, 58 counties in California. And each of them, you know, we operate the same way. Absolutely no change or very little change in the Black communities within. And so we need to have a governance that represents descendants of slaves without feeling ashamed. There is no politician that I can say highly that's representing Black people in a sense of where we need to have representation. And so this people of color and, you know, all people are equal and an I see no color type speech. I mean, all of that is not our fight. It's irrelevant when you hear politicians speaking that way, because it shows that we haven't gotten anything for our vote. So if you are in California and you are a voting population, I want you to look at the ballot for Dr. Critical Truth Bay. This will be in 2.5 years, November 3rd, 2026. We have a long ways to go, but we have no time to waste. So we're putting a great campaign together. I'll be putting a tour, and it won't just be California. I will be doing a tour nationwide because I want other states to know that there are people that want to represent the Black community in a way that we haven't been represented before. And as a proud descendant of slave from the Desire Clan, my ancestors certainly did not die in vain. And everything that was stolen from us, starting from gold and land, opportunities, and most preciously, our children, our black bodies, you know, overrepresented in discrimination and murder, law enforcement abuse. You know, this thing is, these things are constantly real in our neighborhood. And so for those who are opposed reparations, you know, you can go kick rocks, really. Your opinion absolutely doesn't matter. Usually it is those who oppose reparations are the ones that are benefiting from our black labor. And because of that, we as revolutionaries cannot and will not spend not one iota of time on these people's mindset. But what we must do is that we must love each other unconditionally and be patient with each other. Really focus on how we can better ourselves, even when it doesn't seem like you want to, or that you can, or the obstacles are against you. At the end of the day, we are perceived as one unit. And when the majority of us are fighting for the change of our community, you best believe that'll outshine the naysayers. And so I encourage you, black family, whatever your talent is, don't take it lightly. Don't let the gift that God has given you go to waste. If you are good with writing, gather your people and write. If you're good with organizing, that's a much necessary talent. Organize people in your block. If you are good with building things, you know, start preparing your plans for housing. What would a school look like? You know, it's time right now that we start creating our own position, our own jobs, our own legislation. Nothing in this world that is absolute that says this is how we have to live. Everything is a lie. If you grew up in the public school system as I have, and many, many, many of our black Americans, we had to go to public schools. We may not have had the luxury of private school education. And when you've been taught in public schools how to recite things, how to memorize, how to be like everyone else, and the one who recites the best becomes valedictorian or salutatorian, that's what they want. They want us to be robots for the status quo. But when you think outside the box and say, no, something's not right here, and you want to be searching for the truth, that's when they want to target our children and say, you know, there's special education and IEPs and, oh, these kids are stupid. And, you know, it's just so much misinformation that has been repeated. And so we must break the generational curses of the same education that we're passing on, the same knowledge. We really must be relevant, start learning real-time 3D and artificial intelligence and, you know, just computer literate. That's where the way to go. And we cannot continue to say, well, I'm not into that, so therefore I just won't. That absolutely, we cannot, black family, continue to think that way. But ultimately, I do want to say thanks to all our Panthers out there who's doing the work constantly, showing support and representation for the black families that need our help. And we each must love one another without any hesitation, because at the end of the day, we all we have. So I look forward to sending more information next week on Black Power Radio. We will be updating, as I mentioned before, the American Rescue Plan funding. We did ask, if you are in your city as we speak, that you look into your local city council. You can Google how much American Rescue Plan funding has gone into your city and your county, even your state, and really focus on obtaining this amount of money. For example, Los Angeles, where I am, it received in 2021 $1.3 billion. Not million, billion. Billion dollars. This was extra money on top of monies already the city has in surplus during COVID. So this 1.3, we've been tracking it as of 30 days ago. L.A. City Council, Bob Bloomingfield, he's the economic city councilman that's over the budget. They had a wake-up call. They were hoping that no one asked about this money, because what they do, it's sitting in their city budget as we speak, Black family. This extra money sitting there. And what they want to do, they want to create these grants and these so-called small business loans. And it's not really going towards the Black community, because we're not forcing. We're not asking the questions, what are you doing with this funding? If we take one day and fill up the council chambers just to ask, where is the American Rescue Plan funding? You're going to see a change in attitude on how they fund the Black community, because these are the things that they are depending on their constituents not questioning them. Your city council person, your mayor, they don't want to be held accountable on any level, believe it or not. Even the ones that say they're progressive and for the people, which, you know, that's a rarity. But 9 times out of 10, they don't want you, the voter, you, the John Q. taxpayer, to question how they're spending our money. And what we must do is to change that action and to be a thorn in their ass and to write letters and to email and to be there in person and sign up for public comment and, you know, just be present. I can't tell you how important it is for you to do so. So with that being said, I don't want to run the mic over, but overall, Black family, love is the only thing that we have. And oh my God, do I love my Black people. We are family. There's nothing we can do about it. And let's continue on the side of revolution and continue to uplift each other. And that being said, your Minister of Justice is out. Peace and Black power.
And Black power. All of you. Unfortunately, there's just something going on crazy in that studio. We will get to the bottom of it, but I wanted everyone to have their say tonight on Black Power Radio in the spirit of Up to You and By the Nation. And that's in the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. But some come in the spirit of Dr. King. Some come in the spirit of Malcolm X. Some come in the spirit of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Others come with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the prayers, the peace, and blessings, and salutations upon all of them and all of you. You have minutes left. Anybody on street life, family, they will have an opportunity to contribute to the network dialogue at this time. So you all are open, and please mute out so you're not talking. Thank you. I can see everybody else, even Shabazz. So the Shabazz of New York, your protege, Dr. King.
I'm here.
That's the clip I've heard you in 6 months. Well, go right
here. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. He's right here.
Hey, Mother Beverly.
Hey, darling. I'm glad you did that. You didn't get, you didn't float away.
Out of all this rain, I'm surprised I didn't. Yeah,
it was crazy. I seen it on the news. I was going to call you when I get off the radio. I was going to call you, check on you.
Yes, ma'am. I am alive and kicking.
Well, thank God for that.
Yes, but I did start building the boat, though, because I know these rains are coming again in the name of Noah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I did hear a little bit about the update with Christopher Pratt. So we definitely want to know the next steps on holding these race soldiers accountable up in Spartanburg.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as I get through with it, I'm going to definitely, you know, after I know, y'all know, I call you and tell you, I haven't called you and told you because I haven't had nothing to say. You know, I haven't had no one. And, you know, he didn't call me. I called him. You know, that's another little thorn in my side. I'm not going to take over the mic. But it's usually me reaching out to him. But, you know, in this instance, you know, that's just what I do. You know, how they say, Moses don't go to the mountain, and then you bring the mountain to Moses. You know, he don't call me, so I call.
Yeah, so it must be a slow process.
Yeah, you know it's going to be a slow process, but he's on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's on it. I'm not going to discredit him. He's on it. So when he comes to my house on the first, soon as I, whatever goes on, I don't know, I might have you on speaker. I might have you on the line and just have you on mute so you can listen in.
Yeah, I would definitely love to hear what Mr. Pratt has updates for. We're glad that he took it this far. So, you know, one step at a time. But we are in anticipation. I can't tell you how often these court cases, especially against law enforcement, is so needed. They need to be checked, arrested, shut down. That's just the worst. And it's been overwhelming to have no accountability, you know, do this to our babies.
That's what skins my wig back. Nobody's held accountable. I don't care what state you're in.
Not just
in Spartanburg, but I'm going to tell you, with my last breath, somebody going to be held accountable for it. I mean that, so help me God, my boy.
Right, absolutely. The Lavelle spirit lives on, and that's not only the beginning. So, listening audience, you know, Lavelle Lane, for sure, a street named after him is the just as necessary, a community center in his honor. You know, these are the things that we ultimately want to see. And mothers who also, any that lost their children, this is the ultimate, you know, repair. You know, we can never bring our children back, but we can damn sure have their legacy be in the face of our oppressor every day.
That's
you
right.
know, make a right turn on Lavelle Lane. Street on Lavelle Lane, you know,
right on
Chuck Wright Street. Shit, I mean, this is the
sick
best.
I'm sick of these pink people just annihilating and trying to make our race extinct. You go as far as you don't want to teach our kids our history in school. Want to take the books out of school about the black people, about our heritage. Get the hell out of here. Ain't nobody asked you to come over there and get up. We
absolutely
mind our damn business.
That's
then
right. Then
you want to act like we don't exist. You go to hell, kick damn rocks with no shoes on.
That part. And DeSantis in Florida, he's a prime example of white supremacy. He blatantly, and with his chest out, black history in schools. I mean, I never see anybody with balls like that. But again, you know, they feel that they have no accountability and they have the authority to do so. So that's why I'm hard on my people more than ever, because we are the ones. Nobody can do something to you over and over again unless we allow it. Yeah. So we got to change direction. Big time, but for sure, we thank God for you, Mama Reese and Mr. Reese and Andrea and everybody in the whole family, because you guys stood strong. You was not letting down. You know, asked the questions. You were there at the sheriff's department asking questions, you know? You weren't timid. You didn't back down. You had press conferences. So, you know, the moves that you made made a really big difference in how things are being played out now.
And I appreciate y'all having my back. I will back, you know? I wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't alone, not at every press conference and not at every standoff. Y'all were there. But when needed to be, you know, God's time. Y'all stood right by. We was told you we were 10 toes down. You know, it wasn't every time, but you was there. You was there. We were there together in unity.
Yeah.
And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all. My husband do, and my children do, too.
And we love each other.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Our spiritual advisor tells us a thing or two sometimes outside of the book. Keeping it real, Mom, but, you know, you got to be genuine about how we operate, so
yeah.
I appreciate you.
You know, like a bear, you know, we are creatures, too. You know, the bears protect their cubs. That was one of my cubs, you know. They ain't had nobody killing my boy.
No.
He wasn't talking about it. They ain't had nobody killing my son. And, you know, as you say, a street or something. And, you know, for the ones that come behind them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stand for something or fall for anything, you know. And I'm not bad or nothing, but I'm not scared either. That part.
No. Yeah. It's like once they attack, you know, certain aspects, it's like, okay, now, you know, I have nothing to lose.
That's
so,
right.
Going full force.
That's right.
Going full force, you know. And I don't really speak about my son too much, but KJ, Kingdom, KJ for short, his spirit lives on every day. Every
yes.
day.
Right.
June 26, 2009, you know, have forever changed my life. And I said to myself, you know, I was very angry with God for so many years. You know, how can you take my baby? Like, what, you know, and everything happened for a reason. And I had to change how I was thinking. I had to look deep and to see the reason for why my son's life was cut short. But when it's taken by kids that are the same ages, him, that put things in a different perspective, you know. It wasn't
right.
law enforcement, it wasn't a grown person, it was kids
right.
doing this to other children. And so I think differently and say, now I got to see why these kids felt it was necessary to not value life at such a young age. And I believe that's what really started my political journey.
Bless your heart.
But every day, it's something that you never, ever can replace or feel different. You just got to either fight harder and with no fear. And that's how I feel. You know?
Yes. So, you know, that's what we have in common besides being sisters under the eyes of God. You know, that's our connection. You and I, Dr. Truth Bay, our children were taken. It doesn't matter in what manner they didn't die from natural causes.
Natural causes, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's a feeling that nobody understands because, you know, we carry them children. They have fathers, but we carry those children in our loins for 9 months. So that's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody understands.
Right.
Whatever. But right. I fight. You fight for yours. We fight. I fight for mine, and we fight for each other. And it's strength and unity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is. We don't kick these damn crackers. But what do I tell you?
I'm telling you, we just started. I'm ready. I already got my my armor. I got my shield. Got my taser. My spear. As my boo would say, I got my shotgun. I got a shotgun. But I definitely, you know, you gotta be ready.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So I look forward to this journey. But one thing I do want to see is more inspiration from the state and the federal, because the federal government, they're the ones that's responsible for allowing the state to create their own, I say, OK Corral, their Wild Wild West, so to speak. If they know their law enforcement does not have business cards, this is the cold part about it. Simple shit like this. You got these race soldiers that will detain you, that will stop you. But yet, you ask them for their ID, especially in these southern towns. Nope, they say straight up. What they say in Spartanburg?
Huh.
That we don't have to have name badges? They didn't have to have name badges. So I said, how are you going to identify these officers? This dumb bitch, excuse my language. I know she's probably a nice racist lady, but I said, for this purpose, she's a dumb bitch right now. She goes, they're going to go by their first name. I said, really? They're going to go by their first name? I said, why do I want to call my tax is going to someone who's carrying a gun, who's detaining me, who's able to lock me up. I want to know him on a first name basis, so you mean to tell me I can't get his employee, his badge number, nothing like that? Basically, no. I got to repost that video because I think people really need to understand we can't allow these cities and towns to operate like this. When they pulling over our babies, when they're violating our rights, and then they are successful at it. I don't blame nobody but us. Because right now, we have to put something in place by teaching your kids. You got to stand up and say, no, I'm a taxpayer. We work. We pay our taxes. We have a home here. We work here. We have a right to have law enforcement identify themselves, and we have a right to identify stolen our neighborhood.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right.
Simple. Simple. But for them to come out this arrogant, oh, hell to the no. No, we can't continue this way.
So then our family knows we had to fill out a form to get somebody's name and badge number.
That part. Ridiculous. Still out of form. Yeah. The next form I fill out will be your funeral application.
Black power.
Oh, you have I wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Absolutely, yeah. Mr. Reed. Come on in. Welcome to Black Power Radio, sir.
Yeah, what I was saying is, like, a lot of the people that I hang with are dealing with, we don't hate all white people. We just hate the majority of them, the ones on a simple fact that they are our antagonizers. They are the police officers. They are the judges. They are the COs. They are all the people that I've seen as a kid that come in to want the rent money, want the gas, or you're going to cut it off. Or all the people that's been coming as a representation of an entity has been white men. So when we talk about we hate white people, we ain't talking about the ones that live with us, that go to school with us, that my uncle married to or my cousin married to her. Or like, we ain't talking about those white people, because they'll get hung on a tree right next to me. Cousin, right? They're going to be like, oh, you nigger lover. Oh, what you want of us too? Come here, nigger lover. Get down off of that tree. No, you love us too? You're getting hung right with us. So them ain't the ones we talking about we hate. We talking about the ones that's always the antagonizers that's coming with the bill to come up, pay this, are we taking this back from you? Are we cutting you up? Are we putting you in jail? Are we putting you in a hole, nigga? So that's our hatred mostly for the cops, because when we look at our neighborhood, we don't see we see all the cops. And say it was black men, mostly all the black men was the judges. All the black men was the cops. And we hate black people. Whoever is the cops or the antagonizers or the ones that's acting like, I'm a 44-year-old man, you 24, you pull me over acting like you got more authority and know more and talking more than me, you little white punk. them the ones that make us feel some kind of way. Like, I'll whoop on you if you didn't have that. What are you talking about? So them the ones why we hate them, because them the ones that's coming like they got the authority over us. So if it was a Chinaman in the police uniform and that was the judge and that was the men coming for to collect for the light bill, then we would hate them. But no, it's that white man with his hand out saying, if I don't keep you, don't pay me, you're grass. So that's why we have a certain natural, when we see one of them, we hate them.
Well, naturally, I don't really hate anyone. I just know who
you
they are.
You've been to jail before, that's why. Go to jail, and you'll learn to hate white people.
Go to prison, and
you'll be like, whoa, I hate these fuckers. I'm saying it ain't the one that we live with and that's in jail with me, or the one that's picking me up in the Uber. We ain't talking about the poor white people. We're talking about the ones that look down on you and act like they're so much better than you. When they walk in a group, they don't even look at you. Ain't even worth being the knowledge. You're invisible to them. Them the ones we're talking about we hate, not the average one that I went to school with, that I was picking me up in the Uber, or, you know what I mean, it's at the grocery store that I'm joking with. We ain't talking about them type of white people. We talking about the ones that's what their things and think they better than us, though. Those are the ones I'm saying.
Well, majority of how this country's built, and I agree, okay, I mean, everyone has their, they're entitled to their thoughts and their opinions. The thing is, you know, what I've noticed, what I've learned about being born on this soil, I had to learn as an adult that I was not really free. It's something that when you come to a point of realization, and how I came to that realization was back in 2020, because we filed a lot of complaints and advocated for a lot of families based on discrimination, housing or children's services. So we filed a lot of complaints with the federal government on behalf of our constituents. I got a phone call from FBI agent. His name is Stephen Cogswell, and I will never forget the things that he told me. This was a few days after George Floyd back in 2020. He said while he was reviewing one of the housing discrimination complaints that was sent to him, said, well, I'm sorry that your clients are going through this discrimination, but unfortunately, Black people are not protected classes of the Constitution. This was exactly what he told me, because this is a Black family that saw this complaint. So I had to stand beside myself for a second. I was kind of shocked, and I had to ask him to repeat what he said, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And sure enough, he repeated it. He said Blacks are not protected classes of the Constitution. So instead of cussing him out, I said, wait a minute, why the fuck would he say something like this? I went home that night, and I actually reread the Constitution in its entirety. And lo and behold, right there in the 13th and 14th Amendment, he was right. We are actually, the way the Constitution is written right now, it does not for free. That means that the fact that we were still enslaved, the Emancipation Proclamation could have declared that slavery is over. But what they did is that they put the loophole saying that you are not free unless you are criminalized, which is why we were targeted for mass incarceration. So when people are coming to this country and they're going through their citizenship, you know what they do at this USCIS office, at the citizenship office, where they take their swear their oath, or they learn about the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. They are taught, these immigrants are taught that Blacks are not citizens. And when you read between the lines, Black families, they are absolutely correct. That's why I say we have to be politically inclusive, because the way that we stand, which is why they keep violating our Black bodies, which is why they keep doing things to us without accountability, because the law, the legislation, the Constitution, which they keep telling us to uphold, states that they have permission to do so. That's why, as Lieutenant Governor, the first thing that I want to implement is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, also known as UDHR. These are 30 articles of human law, of rights of man, the life, the liberty, housing, freedom, basic human rights that are not a law. That's why people like Martin Luther King, even though the civil rights law of 1866 passed, but he still had to fight for equality because, again, human rights was not a law. Malcolm X was fighting for human rights and stating that loudly, and that's why they had to kill him, because if he had continued, I'm sure that would have been a reality. But human rights, until it is a law, we are still slaves. That's why reparations is still not given to us, because they don't have to give it to us the way that we are, the status that we are as Black Americans. We don't have a culture. We don't have an actual nationality because we are Americans. We were stolen Africans. So because we were so far removed from the motherland, they can't kill us off, which they try to do everything else, but they can't so-called remove us from this land because this is actually the only land that we know. So with all these factors in place, when the Constitution was written in 1776, it was specifically for rich, for white land owners. And at that time, we were to this day considered property. So when Stephen Coxwell told me in 2020, Truth Bay, I'm sorry, but blacks are not protected by the Constitution, that was the best thing he ever could have said. Because it actually, that we are not protected classes. So one of the things about reparations is not about the money or land, is legislation. That's why it's so important for us to have an anti-Black hate crime bill put in, just like they did for the Chinese, for the Asian COVID bill, right? They didn't have any study for that. When Biden, it was 30 days from the time the Asians said Black people were beating them up and lying and saying we were attacking their business and woody, woody, woo. And when that found out to be inaccurate, nobody corrected it. Yeah, Biden was like, yeah, he has $50 million for you guys. So sorry, here you're going through this abuse by these dangerous Black folks, you know? I mean, this is something that you have to realize how we're perceived in this country. And when you realize that, you either arm yourself by educating yourself on how we can recreate or redetermine. That's a self-determination. We must, Black family, we must have an alternative governance. We cannot continue to assimilate into this racist society expecting a change. Now, the best thing that our national chairman has been pushing for the last year is the no reparations, no vote. Let's see if we can start off small by withholding a powerful, powerful Black vote. Just sit it out. If anything, vote Republican. If you want to go crazy, shit. But just don't participate and see how that will affect change. And in the meantime, let's start building and promoting young people, create our own governance. We don't have to go by the status quo. We can create our own laws tomorrow, believe me when I tell you, but we are still in that era where some of us don't even think that we're slaves. You know, this is what we, that's all we know. So it is a conflict sometimes of trying to get end goal of self-determination, but it's the only goal, Black family. It really is. And so that's why I just want us to take the time to really look and study the Constitution. Read it tonight. Go on YouTube or audio, because we like audio books more than anything. But listen and read the Constitution in its entirety. Start there, and then you'll see exactly what I'm saying. Black power.
Black power, Black power. Checking in with our national field marshal here. Maybe give us an update on the festival. The Marcus Garvey Day activities is doing tight on the security. Black Power, brother, you still there? Black Power. Oh, maybe not. Okay, you may have dropped off. I was trying. You were talking, so maybe had to get back to work. All right. Well, no, go right ahead. I'm here. Just walk around. Listening. Mm-hmm.
So, what's happening in New York, people? New York, we're going to have to highlight New York in a very special way. Let me tell you something. New York City Mayor Eric Adams. What's happening with this man? Where is his position as far as allowing the immigrants to take over this town? Is he fighting for reparations as he should? This is where we need our New York people to actually chime in and tell us what's going on. This is one of the second most powerful cities in the nation. What's happening, black folks in New York?
If they're under serious cultural shock, and they have not recovered from COVID 1 through 18. And as a result, they are doing peculiar deeds, staring out the wings of the opposition, fumbling and stumbling through their own opposition. And whereas we'll come cool as a cucumber and get our work here and say, my.
Well, he's in Israel right now. Homeboy just said, I'm on vacation. He took a 3-day trip to Israel. So he's trying to bridge the gap for the Jewish community in New York. I need him to make a trip to the motherland and start thinking about how reparations fit for the black community. So that's the type of hypocrisy that I'm talking about. You know? A 3-day trip to Israel. Goddamn. Well, anyway, that was just a food for thought.
Who on the trip to Israel?
What is it, bro?
Who? Who's in Israel?
Mayor Eric Adams.
Oh.
He traveled to Israel on today, actually, for a three-day highlight to see how he can bridge the gap with the Jewish community.
Well, must
let me
not...
read this article over here. What'd you say?
I said, must be nice. He's to be the commissioner for the MTA, because I was still in New York when he was the commissioner for the MTA police department. You know,
okay.
I don't know. I'm not gonna call him the Uncle Tom. He's a Sambo.
What are them two? We call him Steven from Django. Uncle.
Yep.
Well, he's not really an Uncle Ruckus. That's a big going too far, but he has a Uncle Ruckus quality for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So it says here.
I said definitely.
Absolutely. Here he visits Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. At a precarious moment, as Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, has limited power of the nation's judiciary. So he's going over there to launch a community meeting because he has close ties to the ultra-Orthodox community in New York. And so he plans to learn about the Israeli technology and discuss combined efforts to combat anti-Semitism. There's that word again, anti-Semitism. Boy, I tell you, every time that word comes out, I mean, Kanye West learned the hard way, or did he? We are the actual anti-Semites. So when they keep putting black hate, us as the original Jews, nobody's ready for that conversation. That's really anti-Semitism. But what I like to see is the same effort and smoke defending the black community. And we have yet to see that. I look forward to gathering of the minds and seeing how we can bring forth change. So, Mr. Reed, what's happening with the chat? What's going on in the Capitol?
Right now, it's a standstill. We're trying to figure out what they're doing with the homeless situation and the homeless housing bill, or if they want to respond to that, or I'm hearing like there's trouble going on with the mayor out here today. He ain't gonna be running for next term, and it ain't looking real good for him right now. So I'm hearing a lot of trouble like that going on in behind the back scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, homelessness is definitely out of control there, and for good reason. There's a lot of money in homelessness, so fortunately we have to hold that accountable as well. But we'll see what happens this time next year on how these elections will go. Determines how we move. I look forward to some change on that.
No, they're trying to get us something done like ASAP. A lot of people was tired of how they running the city down the drain since 2017.
That's right.
Yeah. Either one of the blind men, they a tune back in the day called Living for the City, Living Just Enough. Living Just Enough for the City. Yeah. It has long but feet are hard and gritty, spent too much of his time on the streets of New York City. And that man is better than Teflon Man, that guy's living for the city. There's nothing in the universe tougher than him. He has a certain spirit. When the water, the lights, and all of that go off, he still keeps it going. Mm-hmm. He has the best of wardrobe. He is the best of artistry, the best of all the refined art. And there's nothing can match him on Teflon skin. And he withstands bullets in his chest. Mama, living just enough for the kids.
I know, that's right. Definitely got to see a change in that.
Yeah, in fact, we still can't get no word back on the missing ARRP funds. It's like certain people, they may be giving hush money to shut up, if not even something. We asking, and the people that we asking, they acting like they don't know nothing about it now. But first, it was like trying to act like it. But now everybody, like they want to cover up what's going on with about that $112.2
million. Well, it's $112 million the city of Sacramento received in 2021. And they haven't done nothing but put in little grants here and there. Damn sure didn't surpass $50 million. And so I know they have at least $68 million still sitting there. And it's amazing how people are not looking at the bigger picture and you know, banding together and saying, hey, we don't want this $50,000 grant that you throw in crumbs. You know, we each should have $1 million, $2 million with a solid plan. And it's so sad. Again, our young people are the ones that are facing the repercussions of how we're moving now. But we definitely are going to hold them accountable. And we'll keep you in tune. So next week on Black Power Radio, we will highlight some of the efforts of some of the major cities, such as Los Angeles, Sacramento, even New York, will cover the update concerning the American Rescue Plan funding. So if you haven't done your research yet in your city, I urge you to do that so you can join the conversation. We need to hear from you, a Black family, on what your city is doing with the current funds. So the question remains. We have posed you to ask your local city council how much money. First, you have to find out how much money your city received, and that's as easy as a Google search. Once you find out, determine the amount. The second is to attend your city council, or you could even look on record. If your council, they usually have created, your city have created a whole department. It's some people that were assigned specifically to monitor this money back in 2021, where most of the cities received this funding. Ask how much is left, and that's it. That's all we're asking for you to do, Black families. And then when we reconvene, we will do a comparison, and we're actually going to be drafting a plan of action on how to accountability for the full amount of ARPA funds, American Rescue Plan funds, that is still sitting in your community. So if there's at least over 20 million, there's not a lot of people asking about it, you can focus on this, have, make sure you have a plan, a company or organization already ready to receive this money, and you apply for it. When they don't have a grant, they usually have a grant with a certain date that the applications are due. Forget that. Go beyond that. So if it's a $50,000 grant like they're doing here in Sacramento, it's a youth program that they're giving, and the total complete is $2 million, but they're saying they're giving $50,000 only, maximum, to each youth organization that provides a certain program. And the thing that I'm saying is that $50,000 may seem like a lot, but when you're really trying to do something long-term for the youth, it's nothing. And then you want to hire them. Most of them need jobs. Our young people, most of the complaints are that they want a job that they can enjoy, you know, even if it's not enjoyed, they like disciplinary actions, honestly. They like structure. So if they can get paid $20 an hour to do 14, 40 hours worth of work, like adults, start off young, we would have so much less suicide, violence in the street. They won't take it out on each other. Depression will decrease. So many factors. But what our young kids are looking at right now on a national level, you know, their minds are now 3D. It's Generation Y, technology-based. So our babies are born in a different era. And when their surroundings are matched, you see their neighborhoods are decrepit, a lot of old buildings. You don't have technology centers for them to go into, right? Sometimes they have after-school programs that may have computer classes here and there. You may have a youth center every 20 miles. But the same way that they have liquor stores, dispensaries, and nightclubs, and churches on every block, is the way that we need to have technology centers so they can create their own podcasts, be in a music studio. They have such great ideas, you know, but they don't have a place to actually create these ideas. And so that's really the key on how we can mobilize our youth on a grander scale. So the American Rescue Plan funding, usually every city, they have a youth funding that they take out. Sacramento is $29 million out of the $112 million, 29 for youth programs. And here, they have a grant for over $2 million for a $50,000 max per organization. Oh, come on. We can't just sit there and, you know, we got to do the math and shit. We got to be angry enough to say no. No, this is enough is enough with the crumbs, right? So join us next week on Black Power Radio where we will divulge updates on the ARPA funds. And we definitely wanted to be interactive to join the conversation on that. Also, we thank you for listening in on Black Power Radio. Now, we've heard before, we've got to finance the revolution. All the information that we have on this platform, you won't find it anywhere else. We usually try to give you the blueprint and points of action that no other station or broadcast is disseminating. So if you want to donate to the cause, you can log on to our website, thenewblackpantherparty.com, or you can donate a Cash App, $77Bakers. That's $77Bakers, because we can't do anything without some type of finance going out there. But nonetheless, it doesn't stop us from doing what we need to do regardless. So let's work together, support the cause, and we thank you again for listening to Black Power Radio. So I'll relinquish the mic back to our host, National Chairman Sheikh Imam Akbar.
Black Power.
Sarah, are you still there and alive?
You better be alive.
All right. Hello.
Today. Are you woke?
No. Is Jermaine still on the line from Shreveport?
Oh, mama.
There you go.
Should be. He should be still there. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Brother Jermaine, are you there? Let's see. Mm-hmm. We certainly do have the most informative radio talk show on the internet and your metaverse, universe, LinkedIn, and LinkedIn. All your apps that are on Paranoid, and especially those, again, that are Android. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Brightening my day. We, again, placed the street sign in New York City at 122nd near Oxford Mall. The Black Panther Way is on the street signs of New York. It's resonating with all revolution. And we say Black Power to you. Anybody else that was trying to chime in with a statement, a question, or even an answer is welcome to come to the mic at this time. Black Power.
Well, always been spiritual. God, I do want to, because I have, you have another appointment. But I do want to always remind us that reparations and what is due to us as Black people is biblical. It's always there. So we want to do a little verse from Leviticus 6 concerning what has been taken from us must be returned. And this is one of my favorite Bible verses concerning Moses. So the Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor about something entrusted to them or left in their care or about something stolen, or if they cheat their neighbor, or if they lost property and lie about it, or if they swear falsely about any sin that people may commit. Does that sound familiar? Black family, land that was stolen, bodies that were stolen, misused, just a few things that are mentioned here. When they sin in any of these ways and they realize their guilt, they must return what they have stolen or taken by extortion or what has been entrusted to them, or the lost property they found, verse 5, or whatever if they were swore falsely about, they must make restitution in full. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what reparations is. They must make restitution in full. Leviticus 6, verse 5. Add a fifth of value to it and give it all to the owner on the day that they present their guilt offering. And as a penalty, they must bring it to the priest, to the Lord, and a ram of flock without defect of proper value. This is the repair that this America has to do in order to be made whole. And so that I land my plane, Black Power.
Black Power again, Black Power. Any of you generals can step up. To be honest, you have 50 minutes for radio. Use as much of this as you like. You're in a session on the Black Power movement, and Up Your Mighty Nation is basically the concept. Thank you.
Black Power, my brother, Roxy's daughter, my granddaughter, her grandmother on her dad's side, which her name is Alnisa Shabazz. I don't know if you remember, she got on the radio one night, and she's a nurse. She worked at yes, Alnisa. She sent me from the original Black Panther Party. I just sent it to y'all through our
the messenger, and she went to visit. Let me read where she went. She said, "I visited the poster house and saw black power to black people, branding the Black Panther Party exhibit. It is small yet powerful and informative body of work. For me, it brought back many memories of various civil rights activist movements in the 1960s through the 1970s. This exhibit will be at the Poster House until Sunday, September the 10th. This is a must-see." Now, she lives in the Bronx, but I believe this is in Harlem. I didn't get to ask her, but I've screenshotted it and I've posted it. If you look and see in our messenger where we all on that messenger, you can see it. And I thought it was interesting. You know, I didn't call her and ask her about it, but this was 3 days ago. That was Saturday, Friday. When she went to the exhibit, I guess she was out there with y'all, Brother Akbar. I guess she was out there with y'all. It was a hip-hop in Harlem, Brother Akbar. And Sugar Hill Gang was out there or whatever. Are you
That's
there?
That's the birthplace of hip-hop in New York. I think National Chairman stepped out for a moment.
Oh. Yeah, well, she posted it in her name. I heard her call talking about somebody named Shabazz was supposed to be on the line. And Alnisa, that's her last name, is Shabazz.
Oh, well, we have Brother Shabazz who actually is supposed to, he does attorney work, legal work in New York. So that's Duan Torres is his name, Shabazz.
Well, she has 10, 11 sisters and brothers, you know, so I don't know. And I don't know all her family. I just know she's my granddaughter's other grandmother on the father's side.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she, the museum, you said the Black Power display is in the Bronx? In the museum?
I'm not sure. I think it's in Harlem. That's what I was asking Brother Akbar. Did he know about it? It's
called...
I didn't hear.
Black Power. I thought someone was just coming off mic. But we want you to know that it was successful Marcus Messiah Garvey week. And we took charge of all Panther property of view. And if anybody missed, then certainly you can go on YouTube and play the struggle of the Black Honda, as I lay right here.
All right.
It's called the Poster House. Let me Google that, and I'll tell you exactly where it's at. Poster House. House.
Oh,
Black Panther Poster House. Let me see.
Love to see that here.
The social, political science. What sign best represents us in the universe, such as even the people of these things.
It is the 50th anniversary of hip hop, so I'm wondering if that ties in with the display as well. We
Yeah, she got it on her page where she was there. I was trying to connect the dots and see if it's the same event that y'all went to, Brother Akbar.
You know, our people been fighting this fight for a long time, and we're not going to stop. Angela Davis. That was a household name when I was coming up.
Yeah,
my mom was friends with, oh my goodness gracious, Shirley Chisholm.
All right.
Yeah, I sat down and ate with Shirley Chisholm as a child in my mother's dining room. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Well, Angela Davis, she was definitely a strong activist back in the day, but when she became a professor at the University of California, even in Berkeley, I believe, she has lost a lot of that fire and has compromised. So she's not, you know, her name is still relevant as the history Black Revolution has, but the actual fight, I mean, I want to see more fire like that from all, especially for those who were in the original fight in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, even
right
now, a lot of our Panthers, you know, they, so many different factions, and some Panthers in same cities are not even coming together, and this is something that we have to change. We were first in political, the free food program. We created a lot of changes in our neighborhood since 1966, and somewhere along the way, you know, whichever leader that wasn't murdered or infiltrated, we really didn't pass the torch to our young clubs. But right now we are, I think we're doing so little by little, but we still have to have a massive shift of leaders that's not afraid to bear arms and fight the old way.
Yeah.
That never goes old.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bobby Steele and Huey Newton.
Yep, Fred Hampton. Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
And Elaine Brown, believe it or not, she still is active. She's 80 years old, Elaine Brown.
I remember you mentioning her. Did she come on the line one day?
Yeah, she actually, we met her at a reparations hearing. That was back
right
in May.
Right.
Mills College. And she, you know, she's actually building housing right now in Oakland, right in 7th Street in Oakport. And she's calling it the Panther. It's a 48 unit apartment complex, and it should be done next May 2024. So she does, you know, she does want to still help the community, which is why she's doing housing. And these are the type of things I'm saying we need to support each other, and each one of us Panthers should be building complexes, should be reconstructing our governance, just little things like that.
Right. I remember her when she came on. She was powerful, too. She was powerful. She still had that spark, even though she's 8.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I remember.
She's not even 100 pounds wet, but I tell you, her mouth, you would think that she's a beast, a gorilla. You know,
she's not 100 pounds wet.
Yes, ma'am. She's a 20.
Wow.
Okay.
I remember her very vividly when she came on the line. I sure do.
Yes.
That's our history. Yes. That's history. You know, you keep up with stuff like that if you're paying attention. Those people, not saying we aren't all important, but those people are important to us. You know, they led the way. They laid the first brick. They stirred up that mortar and all that other stuff, you know. Put that build, you build, you started building one step at a time. That's awesome.
That's right. That is correct. And power to the pants of women.
That's right.
Well, I've been serving my term today.
The health competition and all is going good for Black Power Radio. That was just going good for the Black Panthers, and we tend to capitalize and demonstrate the skills of we the people against the opposition. And so therefore there's much, much work to be done, work at hand, feet, arm, legs, and your backside. We must move the issue of reparations forward or forever hold our peace. I say in my mind.
Absolutely. Power to
I love me. Y'all. I'm getting ready to get off the line. I've got something I got to go do
right now.
My husband.
All right. Mama Reese, thank you. Appreciate you and continue to fight the power.
Definitely. Definitely. And is that next Friday? By next meeting, next powwow. Hopefully I have some information, but like I said, Dr. Truth, I'm probably going to have you on the line and have you listening.
Okay.
Because it'd be too much for me to remember. I know I'd be left something out.
Right. It's all right. Well, I'm looking forward.
And up young Lil Willie, you know what I'm saying? And these things happen and things go on. Life goes on. And we get over. Honorable Marion Barrett shared with me, we must get over it and get on to the task at hand. And
yes,
that's what we call Black Power.
Black Power.
Trying to see who is out of the loop. Well, this is as good a time as any to bring this particular episode to closure and know that you have much more within yourself and your own family value systems than you could possibly have seeking refuge outside of yourself. I hope that everyone comprehended that. Anybody have a question on what I just said? Okay.
No, understandable.
Establish your own family value systems, your own social political systems. And therefore, you carry your dignity, your respect, and your integrity with you when you go to battle for what's yours. Even if they come physically, we will have our own military as a protecting force on our own entitlements. And I'll land my plane there and say, my. Anybody else before we go out of here? Is any spiritual advice to be given that can be given at this time?
Love one another. Love one another. No more, no less than that. That's above and beyond all. You have to love one another. And let's treat each other with respect.
That's right.
Treat today like there's no tomorrow coming, you know, because it's not promised to us. And
that's about right.
For tonight. And I love y'all. And I'll talk to y'all next.
We love you more.
Black
keep
power.
Strong, focused, and committed.
Black power.
By all means, keep it black. But by every means, keep it revolutionary. And a strong black revolution to black that call as well. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Harambe, let us all pull together. And
Harambe.
Know that regardless of land,
Harambe.
Language, or labels, we are revolutionaries. We have been robbed of our motherhood, robbed of our fatherhood, robbed of our brotherhood, our sisterhood, robbed of our identity and our nationhood. But we shall rise, and never shall we fall again. I say, up ye a mighty nation, we can accomplish whatever we will. Thank you for joining us tonight at Black Power Radio as we end this session. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power, Black Power, Hotep, Habarakani, Hotep, and Shalom wa alaikum in the Hebrew, and know that we still mean peace be unto you. Black Power.
Power to the people. Black Power.
Power to the people. Black Power.